Hi, I'm Matt Lieb.
And I'm Vince Mancini.
And this is Mad Yourself a Man. A madman podcast where Vince Mancini and I go through every single episode of The Mad Men
and talk about it.
Oh boy, are we excited to have all of you out there listening to the world's only Mad Men podcast. Mad Men, a show about sometimes twins should kiss. You know, that's what it's about.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Did you know that? You knew that for sure?
Because you're a twin.
I am a twin. This is why I'm particularly disgusted by the trope of twins kissing. It's something that everyone wants twins to do. And I don't understand it. I also am in general disgusted by how popular incest porn is. I don't like it. I don't need that context. I don't have a stepsister.
It's like I know. It's like it relies on you knowing it's not real, but sort of wanting to believe that like it could be real. I don't even get it. Yeah,
I don't get it. I think it just. I think it's honestly, it's a reflection on just how high the divorce rate is in this country. You know, everyone's trying to fuck their stepsister. And here's the thing. The step thing, okay, I kind of get, you know, all of a sudden you have someone your age who's a girl who's, like, living with you. I can see how, you know. But when it's just like, but you're my sister. And I'm like, what? Why? Why? Give us 5 stars and review on all the podcast apps, please.
I'll take that. Also, less spitting. I don't need so much spitting.
That's where I disagree. Yeah. Please give us those 5 stars. Give us those reviews. We've been getting some great reviews recently. We had an episode with the wonderful Katrina Davis, and we got this great review from a listener who said, let her cook. Let her cook. And I agree. We're going to let her cook, and we're going to let all of our guests cook.
Because we like to eat.
We like to eat. And you got to cook in order to eat.
We like to smell what they're cooking. And
yeah,
then
we smell what the rock is cooking.
And then eat with our eyes first and our mouth second.
100%. And we're going to let this next guest cook. One of our favorite guests, a returning Pod Yourself champion from the podcast Hollywood Crime Scene. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone else, welcome back, Desi Jedekin. What's up, Desi?
Hi. I'm happy that I got a cooking segue and not an incest one.
Yeah. Were you worried for a second?
I've gotten it before.
You're like, not again. People are always trying to.
It's like that one time. That's what I have to live with for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you make one mistake. Don't judge me by my worst mistake. Desi, we'd like
to. You cook one steak. That doesn't make you a chef, but you have sex with one sister. And
yeah.
Yeah.
One swallow does not a spring make, nor an incest make. One spit does a Vince not make.
Wow.
But I don't know. I'm like having trouble. Some of that made sense.
He's malfunctioning.
I'm malfunctioning. So Desi, this is a show about men who are mad because their job is doing advertisements. So I have to ask you, what's your favorite advertisement?
Well, growing up in New York City, we had something called Channel J.
New York City.
That's my favorite ad. Paste, Chunky
Salsa.
That's
a good one. That is a good one. Oh, yeah. But there was one I saw as a kid. It was a 976 number for, it was called, it was 976 something, 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 P-E-E-E. The extra E is for extra P. And the commercial... The commercial was a cop busting a sex worker in an alley taking a piss.
Oh.
And then it cuts to him pissing on her.
What?
Oh, man.
And then he's happy about it, obviously. And she takes a big gulp and they insert like a gulp sound effect.
Wait, she drinks? I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's like, she gets some piss in her mouth. And she's
sorry.
Like, whoop.
Wait, this is a real ad?
Yeah, so Channel J was like a public access channel, and they had
the
commercials.
J is for I'm jacking off right now.
Well, at a certain hour, it turned into more sexual related content.
Clearly,
it
was like a very Al Goldstein sort of populated shows. So that was the first thing that came to my mind. Other than that,
Wow.
my
That's wild to me. I mean, I guess
in
so.
general, I
That wasn't made by the like out ad council. It wasn't an actual public service announcement. Someone made that, right?
Yes. In
Okay.
general, I like low budget
Okay.
local ads. That's my favorite type of ad.
Okay. I love that idea of
A
doing
public
like.
service announcement, like there's gonna be one for quitting smoking, and the next one is, and also, if you like to drink piss, call
Yeah.
this number.
It's
It wasn't a
incredible.
help hotline. I don't know what it was
Okay.
for.
Oh, that's
But
wonderful.
I do have a new commercial I love is the Bank Carrot one.
Oh, I don't
I don't
know
know if
that
you've
one.
seen that.
Yeah, I don't know that
It's
one.
for men who have like a bent penis. It's a
Oh,
pill, but
yeah.
they
Peyronie's
show a bent
disease. Wow.
they show a bent carrot multiple times throughout the ad. And it took me a while to realize what was happening. And then I was like,
There's a
oh,
penis that curved.
it's disturbing. The carrot is like, okay, we get it. Like,
Yeah.
so yeah.
Well, they're doing the carrot and the stick technique for
Yes. Yes. Very
A
good, Vince.
classic.
So you grew up in Manhattan?
Queens,
Queens.
but
Okay.
you can, watch
And
it
you
still.
live there? Did you live there like your whole childhood?
Most of it,
Did you ever go
So
get pizza?
pizza, not in Queens.
Oh, they don't have pizza in Queens.
No,
There's this
yeah,
thing called
no.
pizza. Every time I go to New York, I always insist. I'm like, we gotta get
We gotta
pizza.
get the pizza.
Yeah,
Get a
and then
slice.
yeah, it's a slice. That's right.
That's what
That
they call it there,
you know what
yeah.
it's called. And every time I have it, I
Gonna get a
go.
slice of pie, they say.
Yeah, sometimes I say a slice of
Yes.
pie and not cherry. And then people are confused because they've never heard of pizza. And then every time I have it, I go, "Who thought this up? Who, what madman thought this idea?"
Did you
'Cause,
know any madmen back then?
yeah, do you know any admin madmen?
No.
Okay.
Just madmen.
Just insane men.
It's insane.
Just insane
Sorry,
men.
my cats are like acting up.
Ugh,
They
I know.
want to be on TV.
They want to be on TV. The Zoom call is TV. So this is a show that you have seen once, right?
Yes, I
Did
saw
you
it the first time through, like when it was airing.
and did you like it? Was it like an event for you? Like you would watch it every week?
I would watch it every week. It definitely wasn't one of my favorite shows, but it was everyone was watching it, right? It was like a
Yeah.
discourse kind of show when it
Yeah,
was
peer
airing.
pressure.
Yeah.
You
So
watched
yeah, I
it.
definitely watched it. And I liked it
Yeah.
that then.
And now, not so much.
Hasn't aged well, they say.
I would say it wasn't as good as I remembered.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. It's weird because I
Yeah.
haven't really had a show like that where I've rewatched it and been like, oh wow, like this was probably one of the first, actually. I don't
Interesting.
know why. Yeah.
I had a similar experience, sort of. I did do a rewatch of this show at one point, and I was like, I don't know why, but I just don't like it as much. And then we decided to do the podcast, to go from The Wire to this. And now in this rewatch, if you rewatch it again, you will like it the third time you watch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Got it.
it's just
Yeah.
it loses its magic the second time around, but the third time around it regains that magic,
Rule of
Interesting.
threes. It's also it plays
Yeah.
by the Baba Booey rules, you
The
know? It's like it's
Baba
funny and then it's not
Booey.
funny and then it's funny again.
Yeah.
Is that are those the Baba Booey rules?
Yeah.
Did not know that. But this is not a show about Howard Stern. No,
No.
this is a show about Mad Men. And of course, we cannot start the podcast without first playing the theme song. Mad yourself, man. Mama always said you'd be there. Joking. Mad man. Drunk. New advertising. Podcast. Mad man. right, ladies and gentlemen, everyone else, once again, this is season one, episode 10 of Mad Men, Long Weekend. Vince, can you break us off a little piece of that synopsis?
I sure can. Dawn loses an important account, so Roger attempts to cheer him up with the aid of twin models. But things end badly, and Dawn, in shock, finds comfort in the arms of Rachel.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Joan's roommate makes an unnerving confession.
Wow, look at that. You prepared for that one. That's a good one.
I stole that from the Wikipedia or something like that.
You're supposed to just make it up off the top of your head. But Vince.
I did.
Oh, did you?
I mean, but I read it. But I also made it up. I mean, kind of both, right?
Everything you're saying sounds like lies.
Partial
Vince,
credit?
Can you tell me what was happening at the time of the episodes being set in?
Mm-hmm. I think what you're trying to say is that we cannot evaluate a period piece without the context in which it was set.
That's true.
And to put some of that context back in, we like to go to a little segment that we call the news machine.
Mm.
I wipe my ass with the Wall Street Journal.
There is no big lie. There is no system. The universe is indifferent.
That's news, isn't it?
Yeah. It always sounds like you cut two clips together the way he says, I wipe my ass with the Wall Street Journal. But that's just how he said the line originally.
That's how he does it. Was his read, not mine.
That was his choice.
Got
as
right.
an actor.
Actor.
So this is actually, we're going all the way back to September 27th, 1960. Mm. And this is actually like kind of a huge day in history. This is the day after the first televised presidential debate. Between Nixon and Kennedy, but also the first television debate ever, which is just kind of wild that people before that they're just like, that guy's mug looks good on a poster. Let's vote for him.
It's the beginning of the end of democracy.
That's right. This is video killed the radio star.
Video killed the ugly president star.
That's why we don't have any FDRs anymore.
Yeah. No one wants a wheelchair guy. They want Bill Clinton playing saxophone and doing finger blasting.
Mm-hmm. we've got some reactions to the presidential debate. This is from the Chicago Tribune.
Mm.
Irving Cohen, owner of a barbershop, quote, Kennedy came through best on this show. That surprised me a bit because I was much impressed by Nixon's appearance on the Jack Parr show in August. There's still a long way to go, and I want to see more of the candidates.
Mm.
Xavier Jagloski says, I liked Kennedy best on this show, but it didn't change my opinion of him. They're both good men.
Oh, man. I love this.
Yeah.
It didn't change my opinion. I love everyone.
Yeah.
Politics is fun and easy.
Leroy T. Carlson, an Evanston businessman, says, quote, Nixon seemed to be pretty tired in the beginning, but showed up better toward the end. Late on the show, Kennedy seemed cocky and bumptious to me.
I hate when they get bumptious.
They did make the issues clear in this first round of sparring. I'm for free enterprise in America.
I am a businessman. That's why my name is Leroy T. Jenkins. What is his name?
Leroy T. Carlson.
That is the most business-ass name I have ever.
Yeah. You got a T in there. It always feels businessy. Miss Marguerite O'Brien of Evanston says, Nixon made out a bit stronger case, but I got a better impression of Kennedy than I'd had before this show. They should be left more to themselves on these shows.
What do you think that means?
John F. Kennedy, a dispatcher for Buildings Materials Company.
I'm sorry. Can we stop for a second? Are they quoting a man whose name is John F. Kennedy?
Indeed they are.
Yeah. I was honestly pretty surprised that it wasn't me on TV. Because my name's John F. Kennedy, and I didn't know there was another guy who was same name. So I was just pretty impressed with the fact he wasn't me the whole time. What is he saying?
I kept thinking I was looking at mirror, but turned out at TV.
Yeah, whole other guy.
Kennedy came through better personality-wise, but Nixon made his points better. Kennedy went back too much to ancient history, the 1930s, which has little bearing on the situation today. Unburdened by what came before us. Meanwhile, Richard Nixon, a construction electrician.
What the fuck is going on? Okay.
Neither one came out on top, and they contradicted each other a lot. I don't know the record on some of these matters. I still like Nixon.
I feel like both of them have their biases.
Yeah, you'd think.
Me personally, I would never vote for a guy who had my name. Desi, yeah. Would you vote for someone who was running for president named Desi Jedekin?
A woman? No, I'm just
I mean, Desi just Arnaz, kidding. It could be a man.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, right? I'd be like...
It's an insult
woman
to the
than
name.
A Cuban, I'd say. Yeah.
I would be like, listen, I'm trying to make a name for myself. You're going to come in here, swoop in, and fucking be the... Like, I used to, like, follow other Matt Leibs on the internet just to make sure their careers didn't go well.
Yeah. You have to be, like, the alpha.
Yeah, I'm the alpha Matt Leib. Yeah. I was like, you ain't going to be a better Matt Leib than me. I'm number one Matt Leib.
Yeah, luckily my name's pretty rare.
Yeah, I guess so. You probably don't have that problem.
Yeah.
No. Meanwhile, Vince Mancini is the second most famous Vince Mancini in film.
Yeah, well, luckily the first one's fictional, so I don't have to worry
about
that.
Yeah, but I mean,
that.
You know, people, they get shit confused all the time. People think you are the bastard son of Sonny Corleone. So.
That's right. They think I'm the malformed Siamese twin that grew out of Andy Garcia's shoulder.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a true thing about him, by the way.
What, really?
Mm-hmm. He had a malformed twin.
He did?
Supposedly, that's a fact I read. I mean,
attached
you're not gonna check me on it, are
you? Unattached twin or non-attached?
Attached, yeah. Like they had to like.
You think they ever kissed?
Wow.
You think they ever got together and kissed?
The little malformed lips moving forward.
Well, all right, one of us has got to suck this dick. It's the only reason I would hope for an attached
one of us
twin.
Has a mouth. We share a mouth and a dick. So, here's a little bit of a behind the scenes of the same debate. Meet hour before show. A highlight of the unofficial part, which was not broadcast, was the meeting an hour before airtime of Nixon and Kennedy. Mm. Both arrived within minutes of each other at the Columbia Broadcasting System studios. Nixon, who arrived first, had an unhappy start. As he climbed from his limousine, he hit his right knee against the frame of the car. It was an injury to the left knee, which recently confined Nixon to Walter Reed Hospital in Washington. This motherfucker apparently is just all knee joints. You may remember from a few shows ago that Nixon banged his left knee on a different car door and was in the hospital for 2 weeks.
That's crazy. I mean, he probably has a lot of like old like football injuries or rugby or whatever he played.
I think he is more like the dude from Intolerable Cruelty, the Coen Brothers movie, where there's the old lawyer that's just like hooked up to machines all the time. And
Which is crazy because Kennedy, one of the things he's infamous for was being a sickly child.
Yeah.
Like they were always like giving him like back drugs and like taking out ribs and like sucking out some brain, just like trying to get him to act right.
Mm-hmm. Sucking out some brain, you mean like Nancy Reagan?
Yeah. Giving him a brain. They're always throat-coating him.
Yeah. I think everybody was just like raised in like lead-lined baby baskets and like asbestos clothing. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like if you got out of there without thalidomide arms, like you count yourself lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
As Nixon conferred under monitoring cameras watched by some newsmen with Sig Michelson, CBS vice president, Kennedy walked in. Mm. Nixon, arising to greet him, bumped his head on a microphone which was suspended above him.
I love how silly he is.
He's like Homer Simpson, man.
He's just doughing all over the place.
Yeah. He rubbed the bruise and then advanced to meet Kennedy. Both men seemed relaxed as they greeted each other and made small talk. "You had a good crowd in Cleveland, didn't you?" Nixon said to Kennedy. "Yes, I did," replied the Massachusetts senator. A moment later, Kennedy asked Nixon, "Are you leaving tonight?" Nixon said no. He would be on his way first thing in the morning. Very interesting.
You want to come back to my hotel room and have sex with some hookers?
Era. What's your wife doing after the show? Era.
What was his wife? Who was his wife? Does Nixon
Pat,
have a
Pat
wife?
Pat Nixon.
Pat.
Yeah. Yeah. Old Pat.
Sounds like a dog.
Yeah.
Dog
sure
man.
Does. So we also have Fidel Castro railing at the U.S. in a 4.5-hour harangue,
hell
which
yeah.
I don't think you need to know more than the headline on that one.
That's a podcast.
Yeah, but this one, I did find a nice little ad for the Reader's Digest that I wanted to
please
read for you. And if you'll remember, ads in 1960 had lots of words.
Yeah, mostly words.
Yeah. Headline, "The Thrill Pill Menace Can't Be Handled with Kid Gloves."
The thrill pill menace.
Yep.
Can't be handled with kid gloves.
Yeah, you got to take off the kid gloves and get tough with them thrill pill menaces. Do you realize what pep pills are doing to your safety on the highway?
Oh.
That many of today's head-on crashes with heavy trucks are caused by these drugs bought illegally?
Head-on crashes is so crazy. Like,
there's so many.
There's so many. Yeah. Yeah, people just keep going to the other side of the road.
Yeah, with no seat belts and no safety glass. Yeah. It's just like shooting your face through giant shards of plate glass.
What the fuck?
Many medical authorities call bootleg traffic in Bennies and Dexies more dangerous than that of narcotics. Because obviously they're not narcotics.
No, yeah.
Dude. These pep pills can be harmless when used under doctor's orders, but often turn into killers in the hands of persons not aware of their limitations and dangers.
Apparently they didn't know about ADHD.
Yeah.
And some of us need those pep pills to think good.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I can't think good.
And Americans are now gulping them at the rate of $3.5 billion a year, many supplied through underworld sources. Among the largest users are travel-weary truck drivers, teenagers seeking thrills, and criminals boosting their nerve.
Boosting their nerve? I love that. Oh, God, I want to rob this bank, but I don't know. Maybe not. Swallow some Adderalls and just go, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. I got the pep.
I'm all pepped up and ready to rob.
I had two cups of coffee and a no-dose.
Yeah. Read the facts about this alarming threat to our safety in Wake Up and Die, the Pep Pill Menace.
Wow.
In October's Reader's Digest, learn why a bill to control these drugs has been buried in Congress for nearly 2 years, and what Americans must do to stamp out this deadly new underworld racket.
It was in Congress for so long because people didn't have pep pills in order to finish what they started. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
You know what I think they need to do?
Make them legal?
I think these pep pills are being smuggled in through our open borders.
That's
by
right.
Too many swarthy Italians and Polacks. And we need to crack down on these ethnic types.
Yes.
Before it's too late.
Too many Polish inside of America. You know? That's what I am always saying. So that's what was happening in America. That was what's happening at the time that this episode came out, right?
That's right.
Well, before we get into this episode, lucky for all of us, I do have a song that I'm
hell
just
going
to play a little bit, a little Draper D story for everyone. So here is a song about some twins.
We are twins. Sis,
all right.
Kiss.
All right, you got
to let it go. There's got to be more.
All right.
I need to hear the part where you flail.
Roger has a heart attack.
All right. You can hear the rest of the song at the end of the show. Oh, come on, baby. Let's do the twins. Coming to a, what are those things called that the Fonz used to hit?
A jukebox?
Jukebox near you. Okay, Let's talk about this episode. It is the long weekend episode of Mad Men. As Vince said, a lot happens. We have some twin-on-twin non-action, but an attempt at twin-on-twin action. We have Joan. We have Betty's fucking dad is there with her aunt, who is trying to, who is smashing her dad.
Wait, that's her aunt?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Because her mom is dead.
I know her mom's dead. I thought that was just her new stepmom.
I think it was her aunt. Wow. I thought it was her mom's sister, and that's why she thought it was so unseemly. I could be wrong about that, but it doesn't matter because I like it.
It just said, and according to the Wikipedia page, Jean has found a new companion named Gloria, whom Betty dislikes. I don't think it's her aunt.
I'm just gonna go with the incest thing. I just like it better. It feels like it
thematically
fits with the theme.
Symmetrical, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. So, what did we think of this episode, Vince? What are your thoughts?
This was a great episode, or at least it was. If you like clear answers, this is an episode for people who want to know what's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. I still like my theory that Don is America, where he can present a vision of a sexy future because he completely denies that he has a past of any kind. He's just a total reinvention. That's kind of his whole deal. But in this episode, we learn that, you know, maybe he was forced into that to some extent by his shitty childhood. And he's also learning from Roger that the future isn't guaranteed. So, you know, he's a live in the now ass guy. And he only cheats with women that he has some kind of emotional connection to, which, I guess makes him
a good man.
The last boss of fuck boys. I don't really know. But,
yeah. Final boss. Desi, what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I mean, I do like the incest storyline with the juxtaposition of like the deeper, you know, Dawn storyline sort of more towards the end. It all kind of comes together, I thought. And I've always liked his relationship with Rachel. So I'm happy that I got that episode
for sure
to sort of, you know, see the start of it kind of, I guess. I thought it was good.
Yeah. He also makes sure he achieves consent before philandering. Emotional connection.
Sort of. I got to say, the scene.
I mean, he did show up at her house, which was weird.
Yeah, so the scene where they finally hook up at the end of this episode is like, it was for me frustrating to watch because he's basically begging for it. You know, it's like, please, we're all going to die someday. And then after, like, you know, he does every fuckboy move. He's like crying, but my best friend might die, you know, like all this shit. And then finally, you know, and
wanted one Pepsi.
A few times he's like kissed her, against her will. And then finally he stops himself and he goes, only do this if you say you want it. And it's like, yeah, but at this point, you've already coerced her. Like, I'm not saying he's a rapist. I'm just saying he's being very manipulative.
Well, the vulnerable fuckboy move, that's like S tier.
Yeah.
That's pretty much always going to work.
Yeah. that's King Fuckboy, strategy right there. And
I mean, this is as unrapey as you could get for 1960, though.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
If you're grading on him on a curve from like Pete to Roger, like
he's a
he's
saint.
Pretty woke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He asked.
I mean, insane.
Eventually. Who knows what? I don't know what he would have done if she said no.
Maybe would have hit her. I don't know. It's interesting to watch this episode for me. I love not learning a lesson. I think that's always like the funniest thing to do with any kind of like dramatic storyline. This is the episode in which Roger has a heart attack, first of many in this show. And it's, you know, you see Roger kind of like dealing with his mortality.
I like his whole thing was like, I've been drinking my milk. I've been eating my butter. What else do they want from me?
Yeah. I love when they like give you like a little flash of like, oh, right. Doctors, you know, in the 60s were just like, I don't know, smoke more cigarettes. Like,
yeah. I've even been smoking my Salems. It's the fresh puff.
Yeah. They say I have emphysema, but I only smoke menthols. And you're just like, oh, fuck. Okay. But yeah, like, you know, Roger has this existential crisis after he, like, you know, has a heart attack being a philanderer. And Don learns absolutely nothing from it. In fact, what he learns from his existential crisis is that Roger was right before he started crying like a bitch. Like it's just fucking crazy.
I like how disgusted he is by any human frailty, where yes. He's just like, he does the look, the signature John Hamm look, which he does throughout the entire show, which is his brow is very furrowed and mm-hmm. he's just looking at you like, the fuck is your problem?
Yeah.
But that's like extremely well delivered in this episode, where it's like, oh man, why are you looking so weak, bro? You're reminding me of my mortality, and I don't like that.
Yeah. And he has no bedside manner, which is very funny.
None.
Yeah, it is pretty...
I made you pull that clip,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I have it.
All these years, I thought it would be the ulcer. Did everything you told me. Drank the cream. Ate the butter. I get hit with a coronary. Do you believe in energy?
What do you mean, like that? Thing that gives you.
I love
his like pep pills.
He's talking about pep pills.
Yeah.
I love his only like context for the word energy is like, you mean like caffeine or some yeah. sort of some
you
sort
like
of amphetamine
those,
pill?
Amphetamines that we market to children?
Yeah, you mean like the thing that makes my wife skinny? Or what are we talking about?
I mean, I relate to Don being disgusted when someone brings up energy.
100%. 100%.
That's like where I glaze over immediately too. Like, what?
Yeah, I will admit it's a trigger word for me too. If anyone starts talking about energy, I'm just like, here we go.
Yeah. As soon as wait, was it 311 or Incubus who said amber is the color of
it's
energy?
311.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, man, I'm out. I'm all the way out. Not that I was ever really in, but now I'm for sure out.
I was double in when I found out amber was the color of her energy. So I was like, you know, I think we have different thoughts on 311. But yeah, like his, you know, him being confused by energy is so great. And just like him watching... poor Roger like succumb to his deepest darkest thoughts is fantastic. Here, I have some more of it.
No, a soul.
What do you want to hear?
I wish I was going somewhere.
My favorite moment is he says he's doing great. As soon as Roger's wife shows up, he's like watching him cry and be like, is there a God or is this it? Am I going to die forever? Then Mona comes in. He's doing great. He's really doing fantastic. Peachy keen right now. I got to go. it is amazing. And, you know. Yeah, in that scene, he's like, he's asking himself, like, you know, why am I, I've been, you know, acting like I'm on permanent shore leave, you know, why am I doing this? And, you know, and Don is just like, because you're right, because this is all there is. It's just very funny to me. But yeah, let's
this is all there is. I don't want to waste it standing by some dude who's crying like a little bitch.
Yeah.
I gotta get out of here and fuck my mistress.
Yeah, I'm trying to have sex with a Jew I met.
I mean, it is nice that he saved face for Roger though in front of his wife.
Yeah.
Like, didn't tell her. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, he's got that like 1950s like attitude of like stiff upper lip right. type thing where he's just like, everything's fine, don't worry.
Your husband's not a pussy.
He's not a pussy. And then he immediately breaks down. Don is like, Jesus Christ. And then he doesn't want to cry in front of his daughter too, which I find to be like more understandable. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know, if you want your daughter to love you, cry in front of your daughter. You know what I mean? Like, all she does is complain about you. This will really, I mean.
Yeah, this could turn it around.
Turn it
all
around.
This is your one chance to cry and get away with it.
Exactly, exactly. I think at the end, he just knows that she's going to hold it over him. You know, at the end of the day, Roger mostly just hates his daughter. But that is fast forwarding into the episode. Let's start with the beginning of this episode. We start with, you know, Betty is, and Betty and everyone, are getting ready for a long weekend. What is it? Labor Day weekend or some shit.
Yeah.
Grandpa is over and, you know, Betty is mad about this woman who apparently is not her aunt, whatever.
Can I just say, I do not give a flying fuck about this storyline.
Well, this is a storyline that is, not yet a storyline. It's just introducing the father character for later, you know, drama.
Sure.
I kind of enjoy Betty calling an old lady a hoe, though.
Yeah, me too.
That's always going to be funny to me.
Yes.
Like, going at her that way is very funny.
Yes, and it's like the reason that she thinks she's a hoe is because she truly believes that, like, her dad should be alone for the rest of his life. Just like this. No, but your mom died because she sees, I think, herself as, like, replaceable. Like, if she dies and someone else, you just go in and take my man. What happened to, you know, from death till death do us part or whatever. The reason I thought it was the aunt is because she talked about it like it was a scandal, so I just assumed that. Don is listening to these complaints and it's just like, oh my God, just let him live, bitch. What the fuck? She's like, you know, no. And he's like, but he can't take care of himself because he is a man. Like, the idea this dude can't even cook for himself is very funny.
Accurate.
It is accurate. Yeah.
I mean, at that age, if you've been taken care of for 40 years, you truly can't do things, which is sad.
It is.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I liked the old thing where the new wife would have to, like, learn to cook, like, ethnic food my grandfather's Armenian and my grandmother's, like, a Norwegian from Glendale, but she had to, like, learn how to make pilaf and all these, like, you know, I don't know when, at what point, like, the lessons took place, but that was, like, a thing where you had to, like, learn the lessons of your of your husband's, like, home cuisine or whatever.
Interesting. Wait, hold on. The Norwegian one was from Glendale?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Right?
I was like, that's crazy.
Times were different then. Yeah.
What? This is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
Maybe that's like they had some cosmic connections because of that.
Mm, yeah. It's like they're both from Armenia in a way.
His homeland.
His homeland of Glendale.
Yeah.
Wow. She's like trying to take care of her dad, who is a diabetic, and it's just like, where's the sugar? And she's like, you don't want to wake up with a cold leg.
Is he diabetic or did she say that because she doesn't want him to become diabetic?
I think he's diabetic. I mean, why else would you say that unless you were diabetic, right?
Because she's worried about
him
becoming diabetic.
She's like, here's
the
saccharin, which is also not healthy.
Do people worry about people becoming diabetics? I thought you were either diabetic or you weren't.
That's a great question. I don't really know.
You can, if you have a family history, I think
you can
you're more likely
diabetes.
To get it. Yeah. Like, what is it? Diabetes 2. we just recap Rock of Love and that's how Brett Michaels says it.
Diabetes.
Diabetes dad anyway.
Wow. That's what's going on there. At the office, we have a few different accounts stories happening. First and foremost is they are watching a Kennedy ad in the office. I have a clip of that from back in 2020. I collected this clip, 2020, 4 years ago.
Wow.
When we were talking about The Sopranos. So here's this clip.
Kennedy.
Uncle Junior and other people talking about Dr. Kennedy, who Uncle Junior liked a lot. Yeah, so they watch that ad and they're all impressed because it's not about anything. Don is sad that Nixon has this great story and they're not using it. You know, he's just like, why don't we talk about his like working class roots? Yeah, he's kind of right about that. It is not the first thing you think of when you think of Nixon, other than Watergate and all that stuff.
He's a striver, but the other side of the coin of a striver is being just like the most craven shark-eyed careerist that has ever lived. And
true, yeah. True. It is. Don does like a better job of pitching Nixon than the Nixon campaign does. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting.
You know why? It's because their candidate's a guy who can't stop like bumping his knee and head on shit.
Yeah. He's just like, oh God, I'm bumbling around because of the Jews.
Yeah.
I think that's
just a sort of a comical like buffoon. Like, yeah. You picture Nixon and like, all I'm picturing is Joe Pesci in Home Alone, where he's just walking around muttering "ratsafras." Yeah. Like hitting his head on paint
Rackin',
cans.
Fracking, dacking, fracking.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Nixon is he seems like a guy who's not in touch with his own body. Like,
yes.
He's
yeah.
such a phony. Like, he's not real about it, even to that yes. extent or something.
He's like a lizard person. He's also. He's also like Pete, where like most of his motivation is like the envy of wondering why things that seem so easy for everyone else mm-hmm. are so difficult for him. Like, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
old Jack Kennedy just breezes into the room and starts, you know, banging actresses. And meanwhile, poor Nixon like shaves and instantly grows a 5 o'clock shadow and starts right. like, banging yeah. his knee on things.
Yeah, he's someone who looks like he perpetually has little bits of like Kleenex on his face from cutting yep. himself while shaving.
Yeah. What's the guy in The Simpsons, Grimes?
I don't remember.
Old Grimey, who just like nothing ever goes right for him.
Oh, and, Gil. And
not Gil. Like Grimes, the guy who really envied Homer because Homer kept just like bumbling into good things happening to
maybe,
him.
Maybe, yeah. I low-key remember that character. Yeah. Grimes dated Elon Musk. Anyways, the other
stole her child's name. Sorry, I never get tired of mentioning that fact. Did you know that about him, Matt?
What?
So Grimes, like, really, you know, and take this for what it is. Like, she really wanted to name her daughter Valkyrie, which, like, whatever. I realize. While she was pregnant with this daughter that she wanted to name Valkyrie, Elon Musk, unbeknownst to her, impregnated another woman, and they named that child Valkyrie before Grimes' daughter could be born and named Valkyrie.
Oh my God.
Is that real?
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's the craziest yeah. shit I have ever heard.
Right? Like what? Yeah.
He needs to die.
I can't believe he convinced another woman to name the baby Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Like, right?
That's like Jesus. Not a typical.
I mean, if you start out willing to fuck Elon Musk.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
Oh, man. That everything about Elon Musk having children depresses me. You know, just because it's like, you know, there's more Musks in the world just makes me sad. Oh, yeah. Frank Grimes. You're right. You just sent me. Yeah, I remember that guy. Anyways, the Kennedy stuff is happening. Also, there is the Mencken stuff that's happening. Daddy Mencken is in the office and he's like, what has my daughter been doing?
Mencken him an offer he can't refuse.
I come back from a 3-week vacation and you're turning it into a restaurant. And, he doesn't understand it, and Don like convinced.
What about the soup at the restaurant? Yeah, will it yeah. be cold?
Yeah, yeah, is there warm soup? Do we have a soup warmer? This is not anti-Semitic because this is an impression of my dad.
You have to retell the story just so people know that we're referring to the real thing that happened.
My dad did send back soup at the cafe in the Holocaust Museum because it was not hot enough, and that is his most famous anti-Semitic act. It's anti-Semitic not because of anything, like, it's unbeknownst to him, he didn't know right. He was doing a caricature. Don pitches Daddy Menken on why this needs to happen. And Vince, you had me collect this clip because you, I assume, have something to say about it.
Uh-huh. Which one is it?
It is Don pitching Daddy Menken.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Honestly, the unpleasant truth is you don't have anything. Your customers cannot be depended on anymore. Their lives have changed. They're prosperous. Over the years, they've developed new tastes. They're like your daughter. Educated, sophisticated. They know full well what they deserve, and they're willing to pay for it.
Mm. He's so horny. He's horny when he pitches. When he pitches, it makes me want to fuck him. What did you want to say about it?
I mean, this is just more fuel for my thesis, is that he's basically describing America, which is like, yeah, forget about all that other stuff we did, like the whole, you know, all the Great Depression and the slavery and the Gilded Aging and the railroads and the killing of the Indians and so forth and whatnot. We are we pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps.
We're new and sophisticated.
Everybody has to go with us because we're the shining city on the hill. The future is bright. Yeah, we did all the things. We got a nice suit on and a nice haircut. We're respectable now.
I like it. He does pitch America every time he pitches. And you know, it does seem to be the theme of probably every advertisement from this era. It was just like, you know, God bless America, you know, buy crayons.
Yeah, I mean, and they also sort of invented the idea of like utopian science fiction, you know, like especially in the 60s, the 50s and 60s were the heyday of like, oh man, we're going to all have flying cars.
Yeah,
and
if we get enough products, we'll have utopia.
Exactly. Yes. We can consume our way to a better future.
I never thought for a second that that is something you couldn't do until just now.
Yeah.
What do we do? Because I want to
hate the 70s.
I want to consume my way to the future.
Mm-hmm.
Brent, this feels like the perfect time for you to pop in.
Yeah, you're probably right. I guess it's time for amends.
Oh boy, there's Brent. What are you doing here?
Don't you micromanage his,
his
segues?
I felt it in my bones. I was like, this is when Brent's gonna pop in. And then when you didn't, I was just like, no, Brent, please.
Well, I'm here now.
All right.
If you want to buy some products to a better future, find out.
All right, so we're all gonna sit back and learn what products we need in order to finally fill our souls with something wonderful. I don't know what I'm saying. Please stick around, listen to these ads. We'll be right back. And we're back. Mad Yourself, a man, Desi Jedekin is our guest, and we're talking about what's going on with the Mad Men's. The other Mad Men's thing that is happening is that Don has lost his Dr. Scholl's account.
Yes.
Oh, also, Peggy.
He's very mad about it.
Yeah, and Peggy and Pete have a little thing together, too. Like, it's their only interaction, and it's very testy.
This is Peggy's, like, Aaron Sorkin moment. Like, this is, like, Aaron Sorkin would have written the show this way, which is not a criticism necessarily, but,
Well, I have a clip of them talking.
Hey, I'm talking to you.
If you want to see the proofs, you'll have to check with Mr. Cosgrove. It's his account.
What's wrong with you?
Peggy, dear, I think I understand what this is about, but you're not being professional right now. You think this is easy for me?
I don't know. I don't know if you like me or if you don't like me. I'm just trying to get along here. And every time I walk by, I wonder, are you going to be nice to me or cruel?
Cruel? What am I supposed to say? I'm married.
Yes, I know. And I heard all about how confusing that can be. Maybe you need me to lay on your couch to clear that up for you again.
That show was crazy. Mm-hmm. That was wild. Yeah. I mean, listen.
Wait. Do you have the rest of it?
No. I don't.
Because after that, he says, what an imagination. Like, as if, you know, if this whole thing was like her building up to a fantasy and not her just like accurately dissecting
saying
him.
What had happened. I kind of thought he said, what an imagination, because there were maybe other people around hearing all this. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was clear it was his way of saying that never happened. Right?
Yeah. He was gaslighting her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was his way of being like, you are a temptress in this, and like, ooh, listen to you getting saucy again.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I took it the way Matt did.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Maybe.
That she's making more of it than it was.
Yeah. Mm. And like, that. Yeah. And he is making it clear that, like, you know, whatever she thought happened, which he knows happened, didn't happen, because it does make him sound like a bitch.
Yeah. I thought she was just reminding him, like, yeah, we fucked. Like, you're not going to just walk around here like Mr. Prim and Proper married guy when you blew out my back walls on your couch the other day.
Yeah, that's how she described it. But yeah, it's very testy, and I love you know, his response to her being like, I just don't know if you're going to be cruel to me. He's like, cruel? Well, yeah. What else? How am I supposed to act around you? Am I not supposed to just, like, you know, dangle a little bit of, you know, fucking the carrot and the stick, you know? I got to dangle that dick carrot. It's a little bendy, but it's there. And then, you know, if you bite, then I hit you with the stick. That's how carrot and stick works. But yeah, like, you know, his response to being, you know, called cruel is to be like mad and then cruel. Yeah. So he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I was taken back to the online discourse about Pete, like how much everyone hated him.
Yeah. What was the discourse in general?
I think it was hatred of him, but also the actor who played him. Like, they thought that he wasn't good. My memory. Oh, yeah, I don't. That's perfect. My memory. Yeah.
I mean, there's never been a more, like, he's a victim of the fact that he is perfect for that role. He's like, I can't imagine him in anything else. I'm sure he could be. But, you know, like, he's so good as Pete Campbell, like the character. It does feel like if I saw him on the street, I'd spit.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd be like, you piece of shit, what you did to fucking Peggy. Yeah. But yeah, so that's, we get a little bit of Pete and Peg action, but that's it. So they lost the Dr. Scholl's account. Pete is being a real asshole about it. He's like, I've never lost an account, but you lost one. Hoi, hoi, hoi. And Don
what
goes,
does he think he's going to gain here by antagonizing
I don't know.
Don? Like,
I don't
you're
know
gonna
why.
Lose this one. You know you're going to lose this one.
It does seem strange, because especially since Don, like, as far as Pete knows, like, Don tried to fire Pete a few episodes ago, and then Cooper overturned it because he's like blue blood fucking family connections. Mm-hmm. So Roger covers for him and says, like, we were going to fire you, but then Don saved you. So as far as Pete knows, like, Don is like this close to firing him.
Yeah. This goes back to Pete's basic characteristic is lacking guile, which is the thing that keeps him from being smooth and gives him like all of the resentments that he has with the world.
Pete is like Nixon, kind of. Yes, they have a similar quality. And like Don is the Kennedy who has like the swag that Pete can never get, kind of.
Yeah, yep. If you replace like their birth circumstances, like right, their personalities right. are, yeah, it's yeah.
That is interesting. Yeah, it is. That's 100% true. It's just like, yeah, with, but they have the opposite stories. That's crazy. Mm. But yeah, you know, Pete is being a dickhead about it, and Don is pissed. He fucking goes into Roger's office and is like, oh, our shit is all fucked. We don't even have insoles anymore. And Roger is like, hey, I know what'll cheer us up. There's casting for twins. And so the rest of the episode is about twin fucking. And it's pretty great. I mean, like the entire sequence where we meet the twins and then they seduce
just
the twins.
Don's face the entire time where he has to like where he has to be in the same room with Roger's cringe game.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like every guy has had that experience where you're like, where your wingman has like the most cringy game and you're like trying not to cut his legs out from under him, but you're sort of disgusted by it.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah.
You're just like, ew, like, I don't like this.
Do
this
I have to watch this?
Dirty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is true. Although I will say, in terms of that kind of dynamic, the one I related to more was Joan's roommate watching Joan and that guy go into a room to fuck, and she's just out there like, I've been in that situation more, except without a willing partner next to me going, what do we want to do now?
Just talking to your own penis.
Yeah, I'm just talking. What are we going to do?
I loved that. I mean, the writing in that scene was so good because like,
which scene? The
scene
Joan?
With when Joan brings the
oh, yeah,
Joan
the
and her roommate bring the dudes home, and it's like, there's just like a few lines with them, but we understand their entire
everything.
Dynamic, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, they ask is like, so you guys both work at the same place, or I thought you did. It's like, no, we just sat next to each other at a bar, and it worked out because now we're here.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They do not know each other, and also, they're both like. Ugly as sin, and it's like you know what I mean, but just in comparison to the beauties they are next to, and all I can think of is just like aren't they worried about getting robbed? Like that's what I'd be like, you're robbing me.
Yeah, there's too much of an imbalance here.
Yeah,
it's very triggering to
yeah.
see, because it's like those situations happen all the time. Ugh. Where like you just have these two ugly guys
following yeah. you to your apartment,
and they still have the power to make like the other girl feel
yeah.
bad because they're clearly like fighting over Joan the whole time.
No, I mean, but the better position to be in is the friend who doesn't
yeah.
want either of them, and
yes.
but you do have to end up sitting there, and it's very awkward as someone who's been that friend who's like, I want out of here.
Yeah,
but you have to stay to protect your friend, kind of, which they had in both scenes.
Yes, that's right. That's right, and that's interesting because yeah, I've obviously never experienced it as a woman, so that's a very specific situation.
It's a mirror of Roger and Don, where Don's like, oh, I gotta hang out and make sure Roger doesn't fucking do anything terrible.
And it's a mirror of Mirabelle and Eleanor, because like Eleanor is sticking around because she's like, look, I'm a sliz. I'm a straight up slizza. All I do is fucky sucky. But Mirabelle is a nice girl, you know. She's mostly
yeah.
a horse girl, yeah. apparently.
Yeah.
Well, and Eleanor would have fucked Don. Like, so she's
100%.
In a better position than the blonde girl. But
yeah.
Don isn't interested, which is
yeah, she's
own,
like,
its own hell.
Yeah. yeah. She's like, I don't know if you misconstrued this and you think I'm all innocent, but actually
I'm the whore.
Yeah, I don't need a saddle to spread these
yes.
legs.
Mirabelle is the saint. I am the whore. But yeah,
another funny thing about that dynamic is that we find out that Mirabelle's the one that
Roger
fucks.
With Roger,
yeah.
yes.
So we find out Mirabelle is like the horse queen, and then in the next scene, Roger's riding her like a horse,
yeah.
which is weird because you'd think like the horse girl would be riding him like a horse. It's yeah.
Yeah.
Strange.
It's one of the funniest moments on the show because Don and Eleanor are just like sitting, like talking about, you know, his wife and kids or whatever. And he's just like, I just want to kind of just want to go home. And then he's just like, get along, little doggy. He's like writing, just super fucked. But yeah, in the scene where they're like, where they meet the twins, you see all the executives are there.
By the way, this is another one of those scenes where you can feel how much Mad Men like wants to be an HBO show.
Yes,
like
yes.
You could, I could just feel like, oh, they desperately want this scene to have nudity in it, but they can't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I think we all would have enjoyed it. But yeah, all the executives are like hitting on the twins. They're all trying different lines. And Kenny has no line, but just the
best line I've ever heard.
This is his pickup. Here's a clip.
My neighbors growing up had a dairy, and one of the cows gave birth to two calves that were attached at the back. Then they cut them apart, but they always wanted to be together. Is that what happened to you too?
That's the line that would work on me, though.
He'd be like, oh, shit.
I'd be like, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Tell me how else I'm like a cow on the farm.
So I'm like a cow. Oh, man.
He's that one friend that just like, you know, everybody's spitting game and he's like, I got to get in there. And then he says some shit and everybody just turns and is like, what the fuck
happened? Yeah. Oh, so great. And you know what's interesting about this scene is that like as soon as Don and Roger come in, like he's like looking through the twins and he picks, you know, Mirabelle and Eleanor, who I thought, like, of all of the twins that were there, I was just like, I found them, they're attractive, don't get me wrong, but I was like, oh, it was an interesting choice. Like, there were like other twins there that I thought were hotter. And then I just kind of was like, this is the thing I like about this show is that beauty standards are very, very different. So like what I find attractive is not going to be what they find attractive. And so they chose for them. Like it was an interesting choice. I thought it was,
I had some thoughts about that where I was like, oh, is Roger just doing the thing where he's like seeing which antelope in the herd are the
weakest
the ones that are like limping, or is it that he really just likes translucent skin?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's funny because I also feel like my brain is broken from 80s and 90s twins. Playboy style. So when I saw the group, I was like, these are like average looking pretty girls, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, and it's nice.
Or
in
maybe
that
they those just happened to be the twins that were the best like actresses because they clearly were like pretty good. I don't know if that's a rare thing to find or not.
Maybe
I like your idea though that Roger's like these are the ones who will be more like, oh my god, he thinks I'm pretty.
Yeah,
like, kind of picking the more plain one who might fall for it more. Maybe
classic Predator. Thought process.
I think that is absolutely possible. I also. At the same time, think that Roger in his head probably thinks as, you know, the fucking person who's controls whether or not they get this job, thinks he could get any of them. So I do think he is also going with like, I mean, with him, it's his obsession with this like skin, the skin softness, the translucentness of it, the dexterity, his whole skin. I just love the way. The gross way he talks to this woman.
Buffalo Bill.
It's very Army Hammer coded. this is one of the things he says.
You have such beautiful skin. My God, I just want to eat it. I want to suck your blood like Dracula.
Okay. anyway, so he chooses them.
I think skin compliments can veer very very soon into like something disturbing.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. I've told this story before, but like when I used to work at like a company that designed like websites for cosmetic dentists and plastic surgeons and lawyers. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't remember what this particular client was, but I do remember that the the request he had was that I want my website to be the color of a Lebanese girl's skin. It was just like, oh, that's the most serial killer shit I've ever heard.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, you know, everyone's got their preferences.
Sure.
But yeah, Roger, you know, is laying it on thick. I love it. At one point he goes, shall we cast them in bronze and mount them on the credenza? And she's like, oh my, everything he says means something else. I was like, this is great.
Such a good line.
And yeah, it's Don is being awkward. Apparently Don and Eleanor kissed at one point because she says, you kiss like a married man.
We saw it.
Oh, we did? Yeah. For some reason, I must have been looking away. I was probably just looking at my bent penis going, why aren't you up? And then Roger has a heart attack and the twins call the ambulance and leave. And Roger is like yelling like, Mirabelle, Mirabelle. And Don slaps him and goes, your wife's name is Mona. That scene is incredible because it feels like, you know, those... What's the name of that fucking guy who did those like comics the painter who made, you know, like dot paintings that look like
George Surratt.
Yeah, sure. You know, it looks like a 1950s pulp, like,
You're talking about Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein. That's the one. Yes. Yeah.
Ask a visual arts major, baby. I got you.
Yeah. It looks like the cover of like a 1950s, like pulp magazine, you know, slapping someone and going, your wife's name is Mona. Like,
yeah, it comes from the era when slapping was medicine.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah, it's like that Batman meme where he's laughing.
Yes.
Yeah, so I got in trouble for a supercut that this guy was making supercuts. Remember supercuts?
I remember supercuts.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how you get the clicks.
Cuts for me, and I think we came up with it sort of both of us, but he made like a supercut of like all these old movies where like men would slap women to like snap out of it, you dizzy dame or whatever.
Yeah. And you got in trouble.
Well, he called it the golden age of broad slapping, which I was like, I don't know, this feels like a little too much of an endorsement. I see where you're going with it, and I think we were being ironic about it, but yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. There was a time, though. Yeah, that was medicine.
No, it was super common. Yeah. Like, every black and white movie had a... I think even Chinatown, what's his name? Jack Nicholson slapped someone around. And then in real life, of course, there's the Sean Connery interview with the... Barbara Walters, which have you guys seen that?
What? Yes. He slapped her?
Yeah.
No, but she's asking him about a comment he had previously made about like saying it was okay to like slap a woman, and she was like, Do you still think that? And he's like, well, sometimes I just like to have the last word.
Wow. That is psychopathic.
Yeah.
I love that because you feel like he's going to give you, you know, it's like, well, sometimes, they're acting hysterical. No, it's like, well, no, sometimes they're bitches.
They can't shut up.
Yeah. It's like, I understand it's wrong to hit women. Counterpoint. Do you know how women sometimes be bitches?
Yeah. There's also Winter's Bone, another favorite movie of mine. John Hawks, one of my favorite actors in that movie. Mm. I forget who. I think he's talking to Jennifer Lawrence, and he says, like, I already told you once with my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, that is a... That's a yikes. Fucking threat right there.
That is a threat. People shouldn't slap women. I want to make that clear. But it is a funny thing watching Don slap Roger.
Just because he slaps him like a bitch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he does. And it's funny because you say it's like medicine, but also at the same time, he's just like, I had a heart attack. And, you know, even though I've been eating all my fucking butter and cream. So it actually was probably better medicine than he was being prescribed. And he's having a freak out. He's having an existential crisis. He's crying like a baby in front of his daughter. And Don leaves and, you know, the room and like calls Betty on a payphone. And it's just like, you know, my boss, one of, you know, my friend Roger had a heart attack. You know, this is terrible. And Betty is like, yeah, that sounds almost as terrible as this fucking bitch who's trying to fuck my dad. Trying to fuck my own dad. And it's just, it's so funny.
If anybody fucks my dad, it's going to be me.
God. Oh, God.
Well, I'm the type of guy who fucks his own dad.
Yeah, Betty still wants to complain about, you know, the same thing. And you see, like, you know, Dawn is just so tired of, like, Betty's kind of, like, small-minded, petty things. And he's going to use that as the fuel to, like, go over to Rachel's house and fuckboy his way into her apartment.
Mm-hmm. Just light that menorah.
Yeah, I'm gonna light that menorah.
Does that work? Is a double entendre? I don't know.
Sure.
Meshuggah her.
Yeah. He's gonna go fucking Meshuggah mode on that.
Dance the horizontal horror.
Hey, wow, that's good. That actually worked. He brought a sheet. He's gonna cut a hole in it.
He's gonna make her holla.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
You're gonna get in that Gaza Strip. You know what I mean?
She's gonna blow that shofar.
Yeah, yo, let me get some of that Iron Dome.
Yes, there you go.
We got all of it.
Wailing Wall? That's something there.
There's something there. Blowing on that shofar again. Very good. Let's see.
I got a whole notebook.
Yeah. I'm just ready with these.
Listen, I used to be a copywriter for a porn adjacent social media company.
So of course I know a lot of Jewish words.
Well,
anti-Semite over here.
If you asked me to come up with 17 banner ads with a double entendre in them, I've done that.
Sure. I understand. But yeah, he goes over, is like, oh, we're all gonna die someday. You only go around once. Let's fuck. And they do. And then he ends the episode with talking about him being a whore child. And this is kind of like the first time that he's like ever talked about this. Mm-hmm. Like his whole thing up until this point has been like you only see flashbacks of his past. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time he's admitted it to anyone, and it ends up being Rachel. And because
he's finally not pitching for once. Like when he's pitching, yeah. He does not talk about the past.
That's true. And here's just him talking about it.
You told me your mother died in childbirth. Mine did too. She was a prostitute. Mm.
Just the way he said all those words, I was like, he's something about him. He's hot. that is how the episode ends. But before we do that, we need to just talk about Joan and the roommate together, because they have a short but emotionally powerful scene together before the two boys are brought home, in which Joan's roommate gets canceled, gets fired, which is being canceled but with money. And is like, oh man, I'm having a bad day, you know. And Joan is like, oh, don't worry, we'll go out on the town, you know, find some boys. And while they're like getting their makeup on, the roommate confesses her love to Joan, and it's like, it's crazy. The way in which Joan reacts to this is pretty, like, it's a great acting job. I'll say that. Here it is.
I love you. That first week in college, I saw you walking on the commons, and I thought, who is she? And college was over, and you came here. You needed a roommate. I moved in, just to be near you. I did everything I could to be near you, all with the hope that one day you would notice me. Just think of me as a boy. You've had a hard day. Let's go out and try to forget about it, okay? Of course.
You know, I think you're tired.
Yeah.
You're confused from, you know, being so emotional. And sometimes when that happens, you confess your love to your roommate.
I think you haven't seen enough penis in so long that it's just made you forget how much you like it. So let's just go find you one.
Nummy, nummy, nummy. You need it like a rabbit. You need a bent carrot. You know what I mean? How many times are you going to bring that up?
And then she gets her the saddest dick.
I know.
Ever. Like, it's like, dude, that's not convinced. That's making people lesbian.
Yeah,
that guy.
Right.
Like,
you're, just, you're just driving her to it. At this point, you're doing the devil's work. And her reaction.
He just had that. He had that haircut. That's just like, oh, this guy is. I don't know. Something about that guy's side part just really screamed bad dick.
Because you know that guy is like 25, but he looks like 50.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, all of the older men in this show are all in. They're all 17 years old. Like, yeah. like bringing back like this old dude to the office, and Cooper is like, you know, get out. You know, it's like, yeah, don't, what are you doing bringing old men to the office? And then Cooper tells Joan, hey, Roger had a heart attack, we got to tell everybody, that's okay because business will go on as usual. You know, really, really classy, nice things about working in an office. Don't worry about your products. Whether or not he dies matters not. He is but a cog in the machine.
That was interesting because it's like, would you rather? Apparently, like they're in advertising, so I guess they're like on the crisis PR team side of things. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. My first instinct would be like, just don't tell anyone about it. Like, what is he? You know?
Yeah,
he'll be back drinking martinis and chowing oysters in no time,
or he'll die, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I guess that's just the way it goes. But it was nice to see Joan actually, she does care about Roger, even though that is, you know, a doomed thing. And Cooper tells her, you know, in the elevator, don't waste your time on old men. And I'm not talking about that guy you just brought in. And Joan just cries. And it's very good. And that's the episode. A favorite scene, a least favorite scene, something I missed. Vince.
Let's see. I mean, hard to beat the Cosgrove cow story. I will say, if we're doing our segment, what?
Are we doing our segment? What? You know we are.
What?
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 I'm playing the whole thing.
What?
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 Sorry. What? Okay.
I actually should have asked you to pull this clip, but I didn't. It's after they do they compare the Kennedy ad to the Nixon one, which is like, in terms of like just discussing advertising, is like one of my favorite like inside baseball like advertising analyses that we've had so far, because, you know, it is interesting to see like a generation that didn't grow up with TV trying to figure out like what people want to see on it, and like seeing the Kennedy team like instantly get it, and the Nixon team be like, we'll just do like a slow zoom shot of Nixon talking like a fucking angry social studies professor or something. And it's like, nobody fucking wants that. But the part I was picking up apart specifically was Paul Kinsey, where he says, where he does like a fake jingle and he says like, Ethel, go get the ice pick, which I couldn't tell if that was a reference to like Ethel Kennedy and the fact that Rosemary Kennedy got the lobotomy, or was it like, you want to take an ice pick to your head because Nixon's so fucking boring, and maybe the Ethel part was just a coincidence? I don't really know.
And do people know that at this point? Was that like public information about what was her name?
Rosemary
Kennedy? Yeah. Like, I don't know when that information got out.
She apparently had it in 1941, so it's been like 19 years at this point.
So people definitely did know.
You would think, but I mean, who knows? With
not necessarily. You know, I thought it was just Ethel, like that's the popular name at the time.
Right.
Yeah, Ethel, that was my first read.
I don't know. And, yeah.
And anyway.
But you're right. It's such a specific name choice.
And it's also a specific melody he's doing, and I don't know the melody of the song.
And a specific weapon, the ice pick, like that.
Yeah, you
know. Yeah. Yeah, what is going on with that whole thing?
I don't know.
Well, we'll never find out, because guess what? Yeah. I'm not Googling it. We just live with that forever.
I mean, what are we going to Google? Someone on Reddit with a different
theory?
That's
exactly like... what I was going to say. I was like, so you know, someone on Reddit got an idea, bro. And guess what? If you have an idea and it's on Reddit, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yeah. Anything else we missed? Going once. Going twice. Sold for.
Hold on. So this okay. This is someone on
said,
Reddit.
I already said sold, but go ahead.
This is someone on Reddit's opinion. Ethel was the name of Ramon Mercader's wife, the man who was responsible for Trotsky's assassination, who also died by ice pick. Nixon was his next assignment.
Wait. I'm sorry. Ethel was who?
So Ethel was the name of Ramon Mercader's wife, the man who was responsible for Trotsky's assassination and who also died by ice pick.
Yeah,
Nixon was his next assignment.
Trotsky was killed with an ice pick.
Yeah, apparently by Ramon Mercader.
That's crazy. What a theory. Oh. I don't know.
And he just came up with that in his jingle, like on the spot.
It's possible.
I had to look up Ramon Mercader was a Spanish communist and NKVD secret agent who assassinated the revolutionary Leon Trotsky in Mexico City in August 1940. Mercader was imprisoned for 19 years in Mexico for murdering Trotsky with an ice axe.
You know, I guess like ice pick is probably, but that, everyone thinks it's an ice pick. You know, it's like everyone talks about it. Like people say, drink the Kool-Aid because they're talking about Jonestown, but it was actually not Kool-Aid. It was whatever off-brand.
Flavor Aid.
So that's, I love that theory. I think that's really good. I also like the Rosemary Kennedy theory doing a lobotomy joke. Both of them work, and I still don't know what the fuck that melody is, but it sounded fun.
Yep.
I believe that Paul Kinsey would have that deep knowledge of, you know,
he's a reference,
communist history.
Yes.
If I had to give this episode a letter grade.
I mean, it's the kind of guy who would ask a twin, have you ever had Ukrainian food?
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of which, I also missed a part. I did miss something where Roger tries to get the twins to kiss and they go, why do people always ask us that? And he's like, because it's so beautiful. He's like, he has to immediately pivot to like, no, because God or something. If I had to give this episode a letter grade, and I do, I give it a B+. Vince, what would you give this episode?
Solid B+.
Okay. Desi Jedekin, what would you give this episode if you had to give it a letter grade?
Yeah, I'll agree with you guys. B+.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In a shocking turn of events, B+ episode of Mad Men and an A+ episode of Mad Yourself, a Man. Desi Jedekin, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking Mad Men with us.
Thank you. You guys actually turned my opinion around.
Hey.
Talking to you guys made me realize how deep the episode was.
It's very deep.
So, yeah.
I love it. Well, where can people...
one more thing. Sorry. Can we do this before?
Unbelievable. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. My wife.
Uh-huh.
Pointed this out because she picks up on things faster than I do a lot of the time, most of the time.
Yeah, faster than her husband. Right,
yeah, at the end of the episode, Joan is standing in the elevator pushing elevator buttons, which means that she has become the elevator operator, which was a thing that they talked about when they talked about the apartment.
The apartment, yes.
Shirley
Manning
played an elevator operator.
That's right.
Which I didn't pick up on at all.
Whoa, you're right about that. That's crazy. Desi, I call you Desi and Desi. They're interchangeable. Where can people find you and plug your podcast?
My podcast is called Hollywood Crime Scene. We talk about different celebrity-related crimes and scandals. So you can find us everywhere you find podcasts.
It's a great podcast. It is
Thank
so much
you.
Fun. And, yeah.
You guys have been on it, so you can look for that episode. And then I guess I'm on Blue Sky.
Hell yeah.
seems so embarrassing, but it it's true.
Yeah. That's how I feel about Blue Sky too. It's like, oh God, I'm on it. But
it's
to be
like,
honest,
I'm not bragging.
it's just better than Twitter at this point.
Yeah.
And we just all have to live with it.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't want to sign up for a new thing either, but I mean, it's just the experience is better now. Twitter is like a weird ghost town now.
Twitter is awful. But yeah, I could have just done nothing, but no.
Yeah. No, it got to be out there. People got to hear these thoughts. But yeah, please listen to Hollywood Crime Scene. And once again, Desi, thank you so much for coming
on the show.
Thank
you for having me.
Smoking, drinking, joking, cheating, groping, squeezing, broken 60s guy.
Patreon.com/Frogcast. The $8 tier gets you a shout out. You're going to get a, you know, a good old boy name, or I guess good old boy is not really the thing. It's more like a blue blood old boy. Good young boy.
Yeah, it's
what do you call it? A schoolboy name, like prep school name.
Yeah, a good fella, not a good fella, but
not
like
a good fella.
Yeah, a swell guy.
A swell guy. Sure. So we have three this week. It turns out one of them is a redo. The BS chef hit us up and said, "I don't know why. Patreon won't let me put my actual name on there. I and I'm so sorry, but I am not like the BS chef. My name is Ben Sheffer, and please, if possible, could I have a nickname that's not the BS chef?" And so I said, "You know what? We don't usually do this for everybody, but we'll do it for you because we love you so much, and we want to encourage people to give us $8 a month to get a shout out." So our first is Ben Sheffer.
Oh, we call this guy, I mean, he's not a chef. He's Uncle Ben. He's making your rice. He's, we call this guy Uncle Ben.
We call this guy Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben, it's Zatarain's, but different. I don't know. it's Rice-A-Roni, but I don't know. What does Uncle Ben do again? He makes pancakes.
Yeah, he makes the rice.
He makes the rice. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. The next is, and I feel like we're running into this BS Chef issue because I couldn't find any other fucking name. This guy's Patreon name is Chumbawamba.
Well, we're calling this guy Danny Boy because he drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink.
That's right.
He drinks a cider drink. He sings the songs that remind him of the good times. He sings the songs that remind him of the better times.
Oh, Donnie boy. That, yeah.
Yep.
Beautiful. And I'll say, if you get knocked down, try getting up again. That's the tagline for Chumbawamba. And
Chumbawamba has some like good deep cuts. It's kind of crazy that that like novelty song is the one that they got famous for.
I only know one other, and it's the song that goes, "Do you suffer from long-term memory loss?" And I think I know that because they were like a musical guest on Saturday Night Live, and they opened with, you know, Tub Thumpin', the I Get Knocked Down song. And then I sat and I was like, I'm going to stick around for the next one because what else do they do? And it was this weird song about suffering from long-term memory loss. Anyways, we have one more name and we got to get through it. His name is Scott Rimmel, Rimmele.
We call this guy the Night Rimmer.
Night Rimmer. Mm-hmm. Have your daytime rims gotten you all dirty and disgusting? Try the Night Rimmer. It'll help you see that dark, dark area that needs your sweet tongue. Mm.
Night Rimming, also my favorite R.E.M. song.
Yes, I like that song. Night Rimming, eating all the butt. It's Moon River. And that is all of the shout-outs for this week. If you want to get a shout-out, go to patreon.com/fraudcast and sign up for the $8 $5 tier. Do it now. Patreon.com/Frogcast. Get that shout out, Frogcast@gmail.com, for all your questions, comments, and concerns. Vince, what is a Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, everyone. Thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, I don't think about you at all.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twins. Each other's mouths. Come on and kiss, baby, baby, kiss. Ooh, yeah, just fucking kiss. This is Roger's Make-A-Wish to see some incest. Other, and then you kiss them. That would feel good to do incest. But come on, baby, let's fucking fuck. But come on, baby, let's fucking fuck. And then a skip a dip it up, make a twin go fuck. Toilet. I'm just shit in the tank, and then everyone's gonna be like, why does it stink? And then you can be like, hey, that's just what toilets smell like, bitch.
75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply. But the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers. And everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/getstarted for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.